Let us pay homage to the Buddha first.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Okay, we have talked about four types of person. The first type of person who with exertion attain Nibbana, and he also dwell depend on the five training power. What are the five training power? Can you repeat for me? First, the power of faith, the power of moral shame, the power of moral dread, the power of energy, the power of wisdom. But not enough. He still trained five faculty, and this five faculty arise in him prominently. What are the five? And wisdom. So must bear in mind, must remember, these five faculty are extremely important, very very important. Okay, and this person attain Nibbana through exertion in this very life. But for the second person attain Nibbana through exertion with the breakup of the body. What's the difference between second person and the first person? What is the difference? For the second person, they train in the same way, but the five faculties arise in him feebly. The second person, feebly, very weak. That's why he only attained Nibbana with the breakup of the body. So you see the difference? Okay, now we go to the third person. And how does a person attain Nibbana without exertion in this very life? Here, secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unwholesome states, a bhikkhus enter and dwells in the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and fourth jhana. So today I'm going to tell you how to attain first jhana. So when we practice anapanasati, the breath is our object. In-breath and out-breath is our object. So we keep attention under the nostril or in front of the nose. Little bit far away also no problem. Little bit far away, less pressure, less tension. If you're very close to the touching point, sometimes it creates a lot of tension. So Buddha say sati paremukhang, sating paremukhang, keeping the mindfulness in front of you. Then mindfully breathe in, mindfully breathe out. Know it, your mind, know it. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Don't follow the air up to the head or down to the abdomen. But keep your attention, remain in front of your nose. Mindfully breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. When there is thought, restlessness come, let go of it. No, but don't follow the thoughts. Keep it up. Then come back, gently come back, not forcefully. Gently come back to the breath. Then again, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. When the bodily sensation arise in the body, forget it. Don't pay attention to it. If you pay attention to it, your concentration, the continuity of concentration on the breath breaks. Got too many objects, so breaks. Therefore, ignore it. Then keep your attention under the nostril or in front of you. Again, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Gradually, you will see the in breath sometimes is short, the out breath sometimes is short, or sometimes the in breath is long, sometimes the out breath is long. Automatically, you will notice. So just breathe in, breathe out, not enough. To deepen your mindfulness, you must know whether the in breath is long or short. But you don't have to purposely go and see so clearly whether it's long and short. If you purposely want to do it, it disturbs your mind. Naturally, when your mindfulness comes, you will know it. Breathing in, breathing out, sometimes long, sometimes short. Then as the concentration goes deeper, you also can notice when you breathe in, there's a beginning, middle and the end of the in-breath. When you breathe out, there's a beginning, middle and the end of out-breath. So if you can notice it, beginning, middle and the end of in-breath, and beginning, middle and the end of out-breath, your mindfulness becomes very precise. Very precise, so much so that your concentration goes deeper. But for some people, because of past parami, past life, he has cultivated already. So even breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, without notice, beginning, middle and the end, also he can go to deep concentration. So depend on individual's parami. When your concentration goes deeper, you cannot see the body already. Eugene, you want to sit there? You can sit there. So when the concentration goes deeper, because your mind is so, your mind stay closely with the breath, then you cannot feel the body. No body already, no leg, no back, no hand. At that time, many people, because of attachment to the body, they start to have fear. Because previously, so much pain here and there, why cannot feel the body? So they have fear. This fear comes from attachment to the body and also come from not knowing what is happening now. Because you don't understand, when the concentration becomes deep, you cannot feel the body. It doesn't mean that your body disappears in the world. No. Because your mind stays so closely with one object, you automatically cannot feel the body. But when your mind is restless, you can feel the body. Because mind is so restless. So when you cannot feel the body, don't be frightened. Okay? This is natural process. Okay? And when you cannot feel the body, then you cannot feel the pain anymore. And when you cannot feel the pain, you can sit long, very long, 1 or 2 hours, 3 hours, there's no bodily sensation arise in you. But if you cannot concentrate well, after half an hour, you feel pain here, pain there. It's because restless mind, restlessness, cannot sustain the body. But concentration, if your concentration is sustained your body well, you can sit very erect without feeling any bodily sensation. Okay? This is the power of concentration. Okay. Then after that, when your concentration goes deeper, the light may appear. The light appears in front of you, behind of you, on top, far away from you. This light is not nimitta. Nimitta and light is different. Light comes from different direction. But why the light comes? Why the light comes? The light comes for two reasons. First, the light is the product of concentration. So whoever sees the light, it means that your concentration improves. Your concentration is progressing. So the light is the product of concentration. And the second reason, some people they don't feel that he is concentrating well, but he still sees the light because of past life karma. Past life karma. Okay, so for these two reasons. So first the light appear anywhere, different, then different color, purple color, yellow color, then change, keep on changing form. So this type of light is not so much useful, especially when it change form. If you pay attention to it, it change even faster. It change form faster. So when the light comes, light is not nimitta. So light is not so useful for our practice, so ignore it. Don't care about it. You want to come, it doesn't want to come, it's okay. Because it's not our object. Our object is what? In-breath and out-breath. Remember, in-breath and out-breath. Later on, this light will come closer to you. Come closer, sometimes even come out through your nostril. If it come out through your nostril, this is the best one. Definitely nimitta. Nimitta come from the breath. Nimitta does not come from the head, because we do not breathing up to the head. So nimitta must come close to the nostril in front of our face. If it come far, it's not nimitta. Please make sure light and nimitta is different. Okay. So the nimitta come closer, still don't pay attention to it. Why? Because the time is not ripe yet. Just like a fruit, it's growing. Before it ripe, don't pluck it. If you pluck the fruit, you eat it, tasteless, very sour. It does not give you pleasant feeling. Therefore, don't see the nimitta yet, because it is not stable. The nimitta is not stable, and the time to see the nimitta is not ripe yet. Okay. Then the second question: when can I see the nimitta? You only can see the nimitta when the nimitta is closer to you, and it does not change form. The color also does not change. It is there, stable, not changing, at least for 20 minutes. Not stable there. Not disappear, appear, disappear, appear. No. It's stable, very stabilized nimitta in front of you. Then, after 20 minutes, you don't have to open your eye and see the watch. 20 minutes already or not. If you do like that, your nimitta will disappear. Because your concentration breaks. Roughly, you know, it's quite stable already for some time. Don't care how much, how long. It just know it's stable for some time already. Then make decision. Now I will shift my attention from the breath to nimitta. Don't pay attention to nimitta anymore. Don't pay attention to the breath anymore. Forget the breath, then pay attention to nimitta. Sometimes the breath and nimitta unify together. Sometimes the breath and nimitta unify together. So when you pay attention to the nimitta, it's also pay attention to the breath. It unifies. You cannot differentiate which one is breath, which one is nimitta. So at that time, just keep your attention on the nimitta. When you keep attention on the nimitta, sometimes you may feel like a magnetic power, like pull you inside. Then let it go. Don't be frightened. If you practice with teacher, nothing will happen to you. Trust your teacher. Okay? But if you practice alone, I'm sure you will get very frightened, because no one to ask. But if you practice with teacher, trust. The trust in teacher is very important. If not, you miss the chance. The second time you want to go in, no, you will never go in already. Things 可遇不可求. The time is right for you. You don't pluck, then fall. That's all. So trust your teacher. Let it go in. What happened? My teacher will tell me. Will tell me. Okay. So let it go in. Let your mind stay with the nimitta, very firm. Accept the mind with the nimitta, nothing, you don't know anything. You cannot hear already. Sometimes once in a while you can hear. You don't feel the body. It's very pleasant. And stay there as long as you can. Maybe 20 minutes, maybe just 5 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. Usually very short time only, because you have not yet mastered. You have not yet mastered in it. So very soon you come out again. Like separate from the nimitta again. Never mind, you got experience already, you can go in again. So usually when you go into this state, you feel very pleasant, but very short time only. That short time is enough to arouse your confidence. Then next time you come again, then do the same thing again. Then stay in that state as long as you can only. As long as your concentration allow you to stay. If the concentration does not allow you to stay so long, you just cannot force it. That everything comes naturally, no force. Okay, enjoy your meditation. So if you can stay there for 1 hour, mean you may achieve jhana for 1 hour. Okay, so this is how we say that. He drove. He is secluded from sensual pleasures. So when your mind enter into the jhana, your mind must be free from all the enjoyment of sensual pleasures. You do not think of food, you do not think of bed, you do not think of, you know, your partner and so on. Your mind is free from all sensual pleasures, only you can enter into jhana. And also here Buddha also say, secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unwholesome states. It means that when you practice this meditation, your mind should be free from unwholesome state. No jealousy, no competition, no anger, no greed. Free from all unwholesome state. Only your mind is clean, is pure. Only then you can go into this state. Without first clean or clear all the unwholesome state in the mind, you cannot achieve that state. Now, let's like clean your mind from unwholesome state first. Okay? Then you enter into first jhana, then second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Then he dwells depending upon these five training powers. This seems like first type of person. Whether you have jhana or you don't have jhana, you also must dwells depending upon these five training powers: the power of faith, the power of moral shame, moral dread, and energy and wisdom. I think these are the preliminary training you must undergo, you must undertake. For example, the moral of shame. You shame of unwholesome state. You fear of consequences of committing unwholesome deed. So you train this one first before you can attain jhana. So training power. So you train yourself, then you train yourself to have faith in the teacher, in the enlightenment of the Buddha, and in the Dharma, that you will be benefited from the Dharma. Dharma will protect you. Dharma will give you security. Dharma will give you happiness. You have faith in it. Then you have energy to strive on. Whatever unwholesome mental state arise, you have energy to abandon. Don't keep it in the mind. Don't dwell on it. Now don't dwell on the unwholesome state. This is called energy. Then the power of wisdom is to see arising and passing away. This one, before you attain vipassana insight, you just cannot have that power of wisdom. Okay, then the next one, the five faculties arise in him also prominently, very prominent. And because these five faculties are prominent, he attains Nibbana without exertion in this very life. Why Buddha say here without exertion? Because jhana itself is very blissful, very peaceful. Compare with first type of person attain Nibbana through exertion, because without jhana, he got to apply a lot of energy to contemplate impermanence, to contemplate the impurity of the body, to perceive non-delight in the entire world, and contemplating impermanence, and has the perception of that. All this are a bit unpleasant compared with jhana. Because when you see impermanent, then you get disenchanted. Not like jhana. Jhana is very peaceful, very blissful. Okay. So this is how a person attains Nibbana without exertion in this very life. Okay, now we come to the last group of person. And how does a person attain Nibbana without exertion? With the breakup of the body. Same, this person also attain first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. He also train in five training powers. But the five faculties arise in him feebly, very weak. Therefore, he attained Nibbana not so soon. He only attained Nibbana with the breakup of the body. Before he attained Nibbana, he had to strengthen. he got to strengthen his five controlling faculty until become prominent and attain Nirvana. Okay, so these are four types of person. Is it clear? What type of person? You belong to which type? You belong to which type of person? You may not know, huh? You may not know now. Later on, when you attain Nirvana, you know. Okay? So there are four types of person existing in the world. This sutta is very important. Unfortunately, very few people, very few teachers explain this sutta. Huh? Okay, now we come to the last sutta, which is equally important.
Some questions before you proceed.
Okay.
In the first jhana, in the first jhana, the Buddha said that it's quite secluded from sensual pleasures. Not secluded, but quite secluded. What does it mean by quite secluded?
But here he says he is secluded from sensual pleasures. Not quite. Is it number three? Here, secluded from sensual pleasures. Secluded from wholesome and unwholesome state. Not quite. Where your quite come from?
Because in several other sutras, it says quite secluded from.
It's a translation. It's a translation problem.
So is it quite or?
I think secluded. Completely secluded.
From the fire.
Okay. Yes. Yes, it is quite. I will explain to you. It is quite mean that this first jhana very close from sensual pleasures. So the moment very close, but already secluded. But quite mean it close. So any moment it will fall back to the sensual pleasures. If you say quite, therefore some people want to abandon the first jhana. They want to go into second jhana because first jhana very close to Nivarana. Very close. So it is quite secluded because it's still, you know, very close to sensual pleasures. Borderline, huh?
Nothing is moral dread.
Okay.
So this is a translation of dread. Dread like fear. Just like you keep precepts and you break them and then you feel remorse. Actually remorse is a hindrance.
Yes.
Right? So this dread, how is it different from that hindrance, fear hindrance? Is it dread that is positive?
If here dread of moral of dread, you have not yet done the unwholesome deed. Not yet, you have not yet done the unwholesome deed. But you know, if I do it, you know, I will bear the bad consequences. I have to bear it. So when you think of I'm going to bear this bad result, oh, I refrain. I'm not going to do. So it's a break for you.
So in this sense, that the second, the two deeds, in the verbal and the physical, rather than the mental. The shin is on the mental. Hiri.
Oh, tapa. Huh?
Hiri and tapa.
Hiri is shame, or tapa is fear of consequences.
So hiri is just on the mental side, or tapa is on the physical and verbal side.
No. You see, the power of shame is also mental. It's all mental. You have not yet do anything wrong first. You have not yet do anything wrong, also mental. But if you do already, if you do, let's say, harsh speech, unwholesome verbal speech, you feel very shameful. So there are two ways. One is you don't want to do at all because you're shame. You don't want to utter any harsh speech. So you refrain. You have moral shame. Another one is after you've done already, you also feel very shameful. So there can be two aspects. One is before, one is after. But here we refer to before. Before you do it, you feel shameful already. If you do already, already done. Okay? So here refer to before. You feel shameful, to kill any animals. You feel shameful to have sexual misconduct with other women and so on. So you have a shame you don't want to do. And also you dread, you fear of bad consequences if you do. You got it or not? Also mental, both also mental.
So, arising or not arising in the mental side?
Huh?
Arising or not arising in the mental side? Already arise or not arise?
Both also can. Because we still are ordinary person ma. Sometimes it arises in the mental side. But when it arises in the if it arises mentally, you feel shame, very shameful. So you will not do verbally, physically. You will not follow the mental thought. Because we are worldly person, sure it arises one. Only Arahan has noticed mental karma. But you have shame. It's not possible not arise. It just generate the shame so that you will not follow your bad thoughts only. That's all? Any other? Okay. Wait. Hey. The nimitta is pulling you in. Let it pull you in. You go in. The mind, not the whole body, go in. No, the mind. The mind means the mind blend together with nimitta. Sometimes the word can be very misleading. You say go in. Oh, my body. No, it's not like that.
So just wait until it go, and then we continue to focus on.
No, when the nimitta arise, sometimes not everybody experience the same. So sometimes when the nimitta arises, then you know it seems that there is magnetic power to pull the mind in, to pull the observing mind in. Then you just let it be, let it be. How it comes, you let it be only. You don't have to do anything, not against the natural, you know, happening. Okay, but. Not everybody experience the same thing. Sometimes you focus on the nimitta, then there's no magnetic power. You don't wait, sister say got magnetic power, I'm going to wait until the magnetic power comes. No, it cannot be that. Everybody experience differently. So if you don't feel the magnetic power, also correct. You just focus on the nimitta, see what happens. No? You don't know what will happen to you one. You just do your task only. Let the Dhamma take care yourself. Take care of it. Okay?
Because there's one friend, I feel boring, I don't know what to do.
You don't want to go in?
Because I don't know what to do. I mean, this is waiting or what?
Say it again. What is your experience?
Because I have been down right and just don't know what to do. So, just
came out. No, your it's not clear. When the nimitta comes, after 20 minutes, the nimitta is stable, only you forget the breath, look at the nimitta. When you look at the nimitta, see what happened. I cannot tell you what happened. No, I say somebody feel the magnetic field only. Not everybody feel the same thing. So if you feel it, if this magnetic field like pulling you in, then you just let it be. But if no pulling you in, you also let it be. Just focus on nimitta, that's all. The Dhamma will reveal to you what happened. I cannot tell you now. You know? But no fear. Okay? Trust the Dhamma, trust the teacher. You are practicing the higher training. The Dhamma will protect you. Trust it on me. Don't have to care, forget yourself, forget all the fear. Trust it. Trust is very important. Okay. In one of the Theravada tradition, when we come to meditation, we give our life to the Buddha. We give our body and life to the Buddha. Buddha will take care of me. Dharma will take care of me. Fearless. There's no fear at all. If not, body disappear also fearful, but pulling you in also fearful. All the hindrances arise in you. How can you break through? You cannot break through. So when you come, first say, I trust my teacher. My teacher will know, will guide you correctly. Then second, Buddha is there. I'm practicing the Dharma, precious teaching of the Buddha. Whatever experience, I trust it. Trust my experience, trust the Dharma, trust the teacher, trust the Buddha. That's all. Only then you progress very fast. Okay?
How can we know that we achieved the
first jhana? You come for interview, the teacher will tell you. Certain things cannot be shared. Because individual experience differently. First jhana enough.
First jhana.
Actually, being human, we are actually very vulnerable. Now, to practice and to maintain the power of faith, because it is only with the strength and power of faith that's how you actually strengthen your power of wisdom.
Yes.
So how do, especially me as a human, how do I maintain faith? Because there are so many practices going on, different leaders who say different things.
Yes.
So how do I keep myself focused and distracted?
Okay, good question. I think this question, everybody want to know. How to strengthen the power of faith, not to follow the wrong teaching. The most important one thing, which you cannot practice, is depend on your good karma. This is extremely important. You have the good karma, you meet with correct teacher. You don't have the good karma, you meet with different type of teacher, go around 10 years, only you meet with the correct one. So even me experience the same thing. So the first few years groping in the dark. But you trust your good karma. In order to strengthen your good karma, you have to do dana. Without doing dana, you are unable to meet with correct teacher. This first requisite. Second requisite, you must observe five sila. No killing, no telling lies, no sexual misconduct, no taken intoxicant, no stealing. If you keep this five precept well, taking intoxicant is a bit okay lah, not until drunken. So if you keep this five and doing the dana, then the next step, you pray. Pray what? Expiration. We recite every night. Expiration. Whatever life I have to come, may I meet with correct teacher. If you endow with these three qualities, you will meet with correct teacher. When you meet with correct teacher, your faith strengthen. Your faith sure strengthen one. Because correct teacher only teach you correct way. When you practice correct way, your faith strengthen. And also in order to strengthen the faith, listening to talk is also very important. But the question may come, so many speakers, which speaker I should listen to? After if the speaker tell the wrong thing, and if I have so much faith, I only follow 100%, then I also misled by the speaker. So another question also come. So in order not to misled by any teacher, go to Sutta directly. Sutta will never mislead you, because suttas are the words directly taught by the fully enlightened one. So any teacher who follow the sutta strictly, he is a reliable teacher. You have to trust him. But if any other teacher tell something which is not accordant with teaching of the Buddha, then you just believe 50%. Because Asian like to believe 100% one. This is the weakness of Asian people. So you believe half. I also believe half one. Even you are the great master in the world, I listen. According to my understanding of Sutta, I compare. If certain thing I know, then I believe half 50-50. I don't care whether you are the most famous teacher or not. What you say, if accordant with teacher, with teaching of Buddha, I believe. If not, I don't care how famous you are. Huh? So this is the way how you strengthen your faith. Good question. So better record.
If we were to go into the internet and download the sutta, when you read it, it is not easy for you to understand. You either grasp it, or you actually lose it, or you may even misunderstand it. So in this market, there's not many teachers who actually uses the sutta to give the talk or refers to the sutta and come back real life examples that can actually tell you how to actually practice it directly. So I think for us, this group here, we are actually very, very lucky. Because I have been looking into the sutta for months and I don't really know what it actually says. You know, the inquisitiveness is there and the needs and the want to actually go and learn more about it to build up the faith. Because I have been climbing up the stairs, dropping down the stairs, climbing up, dropping down the stairs, practicing all the way. So it makes me very questionable, you know, where to go. So indeed, I think it's a blessing for me. I think it's a blessing for all of us to be here. Thank you, Flyway.
As I said just now, because like Sue say, going up, dropping down, going up, dropping down. This happened, I tell you, this happened almost to everyone. So don't feel bad if you experience me also same. From the beginning few years, I groping in the dark. When I follow this teacher said, this is the only path. I change another teacher, this is the only path. Oh, I'm in the... I say, my gosh, your path and this path completely different. So finally, I give up. But because I have very strong sutta background, so when I read the sutta, I know what's the real path. You know, it takes me 20 years. So it takes me 20 years to know. Initially, I also don't know. I only believe what teacher says. Teacher asked me pretty straight, oh, I follow until I bang the wall. You know, I knock, bang the wall and continue to bang 100 times again. So this is the path. The path is full of uncertainty, up and down, because we are not familiar what is the true teaching of the Buddha. Until I, more than 15 years, I start to grasp it. It takes me 15 years to start to realize what is the teaching of the Buddha. So it's okay, up and down, up and down. It's okay one, no problem. So you appreciate even more when you find the real one.
Before I ask my question, I will refer the question first. So, teacher Sahali Susila is having this Amada Vihari Center. So we humbly request, based on the Buddha's teachings, the Dhammapada and the suttas and the commentary, we can humbly request that you hold a special class for that kind of session. Is it possible?
I have been giving my Dhamma talk for almost 10 years. I'm going to retire already. So, if you trust my teaching, you trust my realization, my teaching, my talk is open for everyone, all in my website. So whenever I want to give talk, usually I don't repeat the same talk. Why? Because I want to benefit other people who keep on listening to my talk. If I keep on telling the same thing, they feel very bored already. So every time when I give talk, I prepare a new one just to benefit my student only. So I have given my talk for 10 years. So it may take you 5 years to listen all. So unless you listen all 5 years, then I will give a new talk again. Okay? And also, listen to talk, I got to listen many times. My student, one of my students, he listened to my talk again and again and again until he thoroughly understand. Then he moved on to another talk. So this may take you years to listen. So why you want me to talk some more? You have no yet listen, finish what I have talked. Because the more I talk, the more deeper I will go. You cannot catch with me. So please listen to my website. Whatever talk which you think suitable for you at this moment, you can choose. That's why sometimes I give simple talk, sometimes I give more profound talk. And I just want to share with you, when I went to America, most Americans like my talk, because he said that my talk, although it's deep, but it can be practiced. It can be practiced and also easily understand. And it also got depth, not only superficial. Okay. And few students told me, American students, he said, "Sister, we like your teaching because you teach like open hand. No secret at all. What I know, I impart everything to you. I never keep for myself. I never keep for myself. Next retreat, I only keep for next. No. What I have, I give all. Next retreat, I don't have, I quickly practice more, and I realize something new, and I share again. It's, I also keep on learning, upgrading myself. I'm not stagnant in one level. This I can say for myself. So those who understand my teaching, they appreciate, because he said, I do not like other teachers. I openly give what I know without secret. Buddha said he teach without secret, without holding back. Similarly, I teach with open hand. So if you want to learn more, I think you can listen to my talks. There are many. If you feel that you cannot understand sutta, you can listen to my talk. After listening to my talk for 5 years, you go to sutta, you understand easily. For last time, when I first read sutta, I also cannot understand. It's very boring, very boring, you know. If you don't have practical experience, you just cannot understand. Last time Buddha said, I is impermanent. I don't know. I is always here. Why you say impermanent? You know, tongue is impermanent. Taste is every day I eat, I never feel impermanent. But once you feel impermanent, you understand everything is impermanent. That's why I always say impermanent. Not because Buddha says so, because I experience it myself. Right? But before you come to this state, it's just a theory only. Until I feel so bored, I don't want to read the sutta already. But now different. Now after practical experience, every time I read the sutta, I have something new strike my mind. Then I can share with you in different angle. Even I convey the same thing, but I can talk in different angle so that people can, you know, can understand.
Right. Now, following up to Sayali's just to listen to the talks. So the collection of the talks in CDs will be available tomorrow, right? And also on the internet, a full collection of the MP3s are on the net, right? And if you are inspired, please try to contribute to duplicate so that others can benefit.
Okay, that's all.
The question I'm asking is, just now you are talking about the powers and divine faculties. Can we simply and conclusively say that this, if we follow the Eightfold Path, we are following this thoroughly on the divine training powers and the divine faculties, which is working hand in hand or in a binding form?
Okay, yes, can.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any question else? Sir?
Shari, it is listed here, these are the four different types of people to achieve Now, all of us have got a steering course.
What?
That is, we are driving our vehicle, steering it towards that direction. Now that this sutta is taught by you, we can actually sort of analyze ourselves and see for ourselves which category we actually fall into. Is it possible for us to realize that, we are in this direction, we need to strengthen the five training powers and the five faculties, and can we change our course, let's say, from one group one, which
let's say now you have no jhana, you are in group 1. Later on you attain jhana, then you become the group 3. free already. Of course, can.
So we are allowed to
of course,
actually
of course.
For the better.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
I think here, the most lucky person is Moses. Moses is Christian Roman, Catholic Roman, and he come to this precious teaching of the Buddha and experience so wonderfully, right? Are you lucky? You may not understand how lucky you are.
Seeking teachers for many years, up and down. Myself is only 3 years of meditations. So recently, that is somewhere February or March, my meditations in the evening, your face always appear.
Huh? My face?
Your face always appear in meditation.
Always
my meditations.
Appear. Okay.
So I said this nun. I seen somewhere.
Past life.
I seen somewhere. Then after about 2 weeks later, I received an email. A retreat. Penang Hill.
Not body heart, man.
No. Sister Lei Chi introduced me to body heart. Myself was 3 years ago was in body heart with the teaching, but I is because there's no internet. Whatever it is, then after that I skip the day. It's about February or March somewhere. I just meditate. Your picture just arrived.
Even 3 years you do not see me.
I never see. So picture.
This is called karmic force.
Then I said, maybe just something indication for me. Then I just see. Sometimes it comes again. Then after 1 week later, I receive an email from her about this retreat, and I call her, then I attend the Buddha, and then this is the retreat that I attend. And I just keep quiet and just observe. But I don't know anything about the child.
That's why I say you are very fortunate, have very good karma, but we should not just admire, because he cultivated in the past. He cultivated in the past, therefore this year, this life, he reaped the good karma. We also can. We keep on going, we also can. Important meet with correct teachers, very important. Okay? Only then you have the faith to go on. If not, unstable. You don't know which teacher to follow, so you just cannot have faith. Okay, what's the time now?
10:05.
What time should we stop? 10 o'clock, is it? So we have no time to go to the next sutta. Tomorrow, how about we got time or not?